God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. God said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in the world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. You know, we often here choose not to be ruled by breaking news, but this is probably too big to follow that. The reason we do that, by the way, is because there's lots of places that will be ruled by that, and they don't really take into account, I think, what's the top news for God. So I just want to repeat that as we talk about breaking news, I don't believe that the top news for God has changed. That is that he wants us all back, wants us all in the family. That's why he sent his son. I just like to be mindful of that. There is news of Hunter Biden, and you heard it at the top of the hour. This is a privilege that the powerful class has, which is unspeakably insane. That we as a nation, that's to be governed at our consent. That you have a United States Congress where Hunter Biden just says, I'm not coming. I'm not going to be deposed. And so he flees to the Senate side and gives a statement. And if you or I were to do this, the party, the government, could find 10,000 ways to harm us, and they would. If you were told that you violated an order of Congress, you'd find out quickly how much power they can have when they choose to use it. Hunter Biden is, well, not guilty because he hasn't been tried, but he's guilty because we can see it with our own eyes. We can see that he didn't pay taxes. That's a known factor. That's always been a known factor. He wasn't making the money because he provided skills other than contact. We know that. So as Hunter Biden makes his statement on the Senate side, hiding from the House side because he was out of compliance, meaning, well, jailable, perhaps. He's also counting on something else as he made that statement, and that came to pass. But as he made that statement, he needed to make it about his addiction, because this is about mocking his addiction. This is about us trying to dehumanize him. Well, there are people who do that to him, and Hunter Biden doesn't want to see anyone dehumanized. Certainly not the women whose bodies he rented. He would never dehumanize a person that way. Spending money with a sex trafficking ring. Hunter Biden is probably very, very sensitive to dehumanizing others. When he said, in reviewing some of the women whose bodies he wanted to rent, he reminded his people who were helping him with this, no yellows. Perhaps that means no Asian people. This is another privilege that so many in power choose to pour upon themselves. The privilege of taking reality and flipping it right over on its side and then kicking it upside down. Hunter Biden has been in the business of dehumanizing people. The probe is not necessarily about his decision to defile the bodies of women and probably girls. Yeah, there's those photos as well. I want to be very careful about how I express myself here. Respect for all the ears listening. But you may have seen the photos where Hunter Biden's in bed with someone who's probably a girl. I would regard that as dehumanizing. The trial is many things. It's, first of all, not specifically a trial because it's in Congress, but it puts us on trial. We can pray for Hunter Biden. I do. I pray for him right now. I've said many times I feel God's allowed me to feel, not me. I don't feel it. Holy Spirit's allowed me to feel a great sense of sadness and even empathy for him, but that doesn't mean that I also don't recognize the fact that he's an adult who has made these decisions to grift and, yes, to defile people, to dehumanize them. We can do both things, seek justice and seek to be holy. There's also the announcement that finally the Republicans are going to do something with the figurehead, because Hunter Biden's counting on them not doing anything about his refusal to appear. And I just learned that this is just breaking. Apparently, Jim Jordan has announced, no, they're not going to hold him in contempt. They're going to ask again for him to come. I have a feeling. In fact, I have knowledge that if you choose not to show up when Congress really wants you there, well, they'll find ways to hurt you. So he should be held in contempt. If Congress has the right, the power to legitimately jail him, and sometimes they do have that power. That does exist. There is a jailhouse in the basement of Congress. It's there. They should use it. Or we just have suggestions and not laws. We have a Congress or not. Right now, we don't. We have a Congress for some people. For others, we have a group of people who make suggestions and requests. So there is the movement, though, with the figurehead. And on this, I say, well, it's great news. This is a long time coming. In announcing the impeachment inquiry into figurehead Biden, Speaker Mike Johnson speaks of a duty long forgotten in D.C. and in many of America's institutions.
To Americans, amid this impeachment inquiry, why you interacted with so many of your son and brother's foreign business associates?
I'm not going to comment on that. I did not, and it's just a bunch of lies.
You didn't interact with many of their business associates?
I did not. They're lies.
One of Hunter Biden's former business partners testified before the House Oversight Committee Monday in a closed-door meeting. Archer testified that Hunter Biden put his father, who was vice president at the time, on speakerphone multiple times during business meetings.
Lies.
Archer said that Hunter Biden was selling the Biden family brand. In his view, that Joe Biden brought the most value to this brand.
That's just a bunch of lies.
And in the case of this Ukraine energy firm, Archer testified that he thought the firm would have gone out of business if they didn't have that Biden family association.
Lies.
Joe Biden was using multiple false aliases, fake email names, in his dealings about Ukraine during the Obama White House while his son was making money in Ukraine.
The evidence is so clear you cannot look away, and the Constitution requires the House to follow the truth where it leads. We have a duty to do this. We cannot stop the process.
The last voice there was Mike Johnson. The others, and you recognize the voice of the figurehead, the others were Mockingbird media members who aren't necessarily Mockingbird. One of them was Catherine Herridge, who does a fantastic job of reporting. I have no idea what her politics are, and I don't know that anyone who views her does. In other words, she's a reporter. So thank you, Mike Johnson, for moving the inquiry forward. It's been far beyond time for this with this particular family, the Biden family. Incidentally, let's remind ourselves that the FBI's had 20 or so informants embedded in the Biden family, some would say crime family. And I contend, and this is a horrible thing to contend, that it's risking bearing false witness, and so I will simply speculate that the FBI's had Biden in their pocket for all this time. The FBI is willing to let people commit crimes to get what they want. They were willing to let people commit crimes on January 6th to get what they wanted. They'd be willing to let people commit financial crimes. What's a little bribe here or there from a foreign national? Where this gets dangerous in a temporal sense, but not in a sense of the forever, the internal. See, I caught myself. Oh, I get really emotional about this. Equal justice is a big thing for me. I know why God made that such a big deal for me. It's why I became conservative. As a little kid, just watching some really bad teachers have way too much power over kids. It changed me. Very early on, I said, wow, unchecked power is a bad thing. That's why I prefer small government. But here I am catching myself, feeling like this is it. This is the only battle that matters. We're passing through. We're told by the Lord to be good citizens while we're here, but gosh, we're passing through. I don't want to get out of the fruit of the Spirit this morning. Can we do that? Speak of news this way and not get out of the fruit of the Spirit? I'm going to try. This is going to be hard, though. See, if we impeach and convict the figurehead Biden, well, of course, then Kamala Harris would be president. And is that worse? Don't know. But does it matter on a temporal basis if we have a situation like this? Rasmussen and Heartland Institute teamed up to undertake a really unique poll. And this is why there's got to be a focus on a temporal sense as good citizens on looking at what is the single most important domestic issue we face. You know what I say it is? Paper. Paper. And whether we can return to paper ballots. Let me tell you why. Oh, and paper that you don't mail. You walk in and you sign. And you put dots on your ballots. You know, like we used to vote. Here's why. The Heartland Institute and Rasmussen reached out to voters to ask them about some things they did, some secrets, some shared secrets. Here's some of the results. 21% of likely voters who voted by absentee or mail-in ballot in the 2020 election say they filled out a ballot in part or in full on behalf of a friend or family member, such as a spouse or a child. And by the way, 30% of people voted by absentee or mail-in ballots in 2020. 19% of those who cast mail-in ballot votes say that a friend or family member filled out their ballot in part or in full. 17% of mail-in voters said they cast a ballot in a state where they were no longer permanent residents. Among all voters, male and in person, 11% said a friend, family member, coworker, or other acquaintance admitted to them that they filled out a ballot on behalf of another person in 2020. I have no doubt in most cases, this might be someone who's serving in the military and didn't get their military ballot. Maybe it went to their house. Getting in touch with a family member said, hey, listen, this election is really important. Will you fill out my ballot for me? No doubt. A wife away from home, not able to get back and calling her husband. Oh my gosh, the election. Hey, can you fill that out for me? Now, people voting in states where they're no longer permanent residents, that's harder to explain. Did they forget they were no longer permanent residents? The problem here is when decent people who aren't trying to rob an election can do these things, what do we think of organized groups who helped create the chaos of all mail voting, who tested it out in states like Washington, where it is a known fact? It's a fact, and everyone in Washington state knows that Christine Gregoire stole the election from a guy, a friend of mine, named Dino Rossi. Everybody knows. They know how they did it. They know that on the third count of ballots, someone said, oh my gosh, I forgot. I've got like 600 ballots in my car, in the trunk of my car. The first two counts, I forgot. And then it turns out that most of the people in those groups of ballots all lived at the same address. The King County Administration Building. That's the top issue. Paper ballots, in-person voting, voter ID. Because impeach everybody you want. You don't get that done. I don't know that it matters. There's more to come, including Fox News wants you to know President Trump is in danger of losing the nomination, and we'll talk about things more important. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We just spoke in the last segment about some of the breaking news. Hunter Biden defying a congressional subpoena by going to the Senate side and giving his statements where he wants to color this as simply about his addiction. And Republicans are mean to mock his addiction. And now the impeachment inquiry into the figurehead Biden. We just talked about these things. Move on to things that are, I think, more important of the eternal sense. These are important, but they're not eternal. Well, they're eternal for Hunter Biden. I shouldn't say that. These sort of lies and this sort of separation from God is eternal for him. And it is, I think, as well for figurehead Biden. And I do think we can pray for both men and still seek justice. But there is a new technique that's happening in terms of cyber war. And I want everyone to just not misunderstand. I'm not talking about hacking. I'm not talking about cyber warfare to shut down our systems, financial or infrastructure. I'm talking about a new technique that's being used now that Twitter is no longer as censored as had been the case under Jack Dorsey, the former CEO. Under Elon Musk, it's far less censored. The technique is shutting down news stories with force. This has happened now on two separate occasions in massive, massive attacks. Rumble, which is a YouTube competitor, Rumble faced it's called a DDoS. It's a distributed denial of service attack. What that means is it's a whole bunch of computers attacking Rumble by simply requesting to view videos. And it's just a massive amount of traffic that you can't handle. You have to build up to that. There's things you can do to avoid it. There's something called a CDN, a content development network, or a distribution network that very sophisticated networks like Amazon, etc., have. So that's not, you don't face that fate. Rumble is well built, but they were shut down. And it was just after Rumble decided to reveal and to run online the unedited versions, or not the unedited because they didn't get that from Congress, but the January 6th footage, the thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of that have proven a lot of things that the party would rather not have us know. They would rather not have us know that there were a lot more undercover officers there than they told us about. They'd rather not have us know that, in fact, in point of fact, yes, there were Antifa members there. We were told, oh, no, no, no. Well, in fact, they were arrested. Now, they were let go after they were arrested and not charged. So when Rumble placed these videos on their servers and people could begin watching them, they were shut down for days. All of Rumble. This morning, the Daily Caller tweeted an article. Flashback, Joe Biden called on Justice Department to prosecute anyone defying congressional subpoenas. This is from the Daily Caller. And if you click on that link, gosh, it was up. And now it's down. There was an article there, but not anymore. The fact is, we will face more attacks like this. Do I know this is an attack? No. Do I suspect it? Obviously, I wouldn't be speaking of it. That we can't have this in the narrative right now. We can go search and find the article for sure. But these are the times in which God has decided we will live. And these are some of the tactics they're going to use. I mentioned this, and so I'll pay it off so as not to make a promise I don't keep. Fox News. Fox News. They ran on their homepage a picture of President Trump and Nikki Haley, and it says, "We're all in," and here's the headline. New Hampshire governor endorses Nikki Haley in move that could block Trump from nomination. No, it can't. There has never been a bigger divorce between the funders, the big funders of a party, and Republicans, conservatives. This is as far apart as it's ever been. And I know there are people who listen to the network who are big fans of Nikki Haley. I found out because I've criticized Nikki Haley and people were kind enough to send me notes. And look, I can respect anyone. You go, you vote the way God tells you to, the way your prayers lean you towards. But there is no zeal for Nikki Haley. There's no interest in Nikki Haley. There's no belief in Nikki Haley. In most Republicans, there's certainly no enthusiasm for Nikki Haley. And it cannot be manufactured. So it's not going to block President Trump from the nomination. It can't do that. John Sununu is well thought of in his state, won two gubernatorial elections. He hates President Trump, makes it very, very clear that he does. That's not going to move a needle. Because the attacks on Trump have been so overboard, and so obviously overboard, I tend to think that the technique of the DOJ here and others, prosecutors, is I think they want to assure that many Republicans, as many as possible, vote for President Trump and refuse to change their vote, even if the man is in jail. And these are the times in which we live. The times in which we live means God trusts us. What are you going to do if they jail President Trump? What are you going to do if he's off the ballot in a state or two as they continue to try to make happen? How are you going to respond? I would start with staying in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Peace, joy, love, patience, charity, kindness, forbearance, self-control. That's how I'm going to try to start. Because the enemy's behind so much of this. He so loves the division. He so loves being able to use people that way to take something temporal that seems like it's forever. You know, when I lost a wrestling match that really mattered to me, it was the tournament I most wanted to win as a wrestler. It was a tri-state, three-state tournament. And I most wanted to win it. To get second place in that thing, I don't think I spoke for days because my world had ended. Of course, it hadn't. But at 17, going on 18, it sure felt like it had. I would just suggest that we remember eternity as we watch this parade of injustice and selective justice. Please just remember that we're passing through. Please remember that as we give our lives to the Lord Jesus, agree to be changed by him, accept him as King and Messiah and treat him that way, and ask the Holy Spirit to make us holy, that you and I are passing through this moment, and it will be a blink. When we're in heaven, I honestly wonder if when we're in heaven, a billion years from now, if someone says, hey, do you remember that election? I wonder if we're going to go, what? Election? What does that mean? I really wonder about that. The eternal. This is going to happen around the country. It's planned. It's purposeful. You know that. It's now Tennessee, where there's going to be a Satan's Club is coming to Tennessee. This is the Satanic Temple is doing this, and they're very, very, very clever, of course, because they serve Satan. They're so clever that they say they don't serve Satan. On their Twitter page, it says, we are the only federally recognized international non-theistic religious satanic organization, subject of the documentary film Hail Satan, 2019. Right now, there is an effort by the DeSantis campaign, and I would vote for Ron DeSantis in a heartbeat. I like DeSantis. I would vote for him in a heartbeat as I would vote for President Trump in a heartbeat. Right now, Ron DeSantis has said on CNN that this is President Trump's fault, that the IRS made this organization a religious organization and gave them this status so they can go do these things. That's a silliness. That's silliness. I don't think for a second that President Trump had time to look at that. I don't think the IRS went and told him. Now, if they did and President Trump knew it, exactly what would he do to stop the IRS from doing that? A system is set up so it's not the elected officials actually running things. It's the elected officials doing what they can to steer things. So they say they're non-theistic. Well, that's interesting. If you have no theology, how then are you a religious organization? Non-theistic means we don't have a theology. But we're a religious organization? Of course they're lying because they're Satanists, and Satanists lie because Satan is a liar, thief, and murderer from the very, very beginning. So what are we going to do? May I make a suggestion? I talked about this morning. In the absence of my pastor, I was asked to be the, I don't refer to it as leading a group of men, because in this circumstance, all these men at this discipleship group, they're all leaders. It's facilitating. Facilitating a discussion. And I discussed this thing I think I talked with you about last week, of taking the fruit of the Spirit and intentionally determining how you're doing at each one of them. Sitting with your family. Hey, how are you doing on joy and peace? Or maybe just concentrating on one. As you check in with family members, you also ask them, this is out of Corinthians, hey, how am I loving you? Am I coming across as patient and kind? Am I boasting? Do I seem self-seeking? This morning, I gave every man in that group license to come to me and say, hey, Todd, we are not seeing the fruit. We are not seeing the fruit of the Spirit in you, and you do not seem to be loving in the way that we learn in Corinthians. It's the definition of love is a verb, series of verbs, both things that we do and don't do. With satanic clubs coming to school, how about if we arm our kids with the ability to discern between friend groups? Which friend groups are self-seeking? Which friend groups are boastful and proud? Which ones have the fruit of the Spirit? Now, the danger in this, of course, is that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. But the very idea of following Satan is completely self-serving, because it's trading now for a sucker's bet. Satan promises to give you things now, in this blink of an eye. But you have to give up eternity in the fruit of the Spirit. I would suggest that we become very, very intentional about that. It's not exactly the same thing, but it's a close cousin. Claudine Gay is the president of Harvard. She's not going to be fired. She's, of course, one of the many elites who found it impossible to say that it's wrong to demand that all Jewish people be murdered. That just not something that she could say. There was nuance and gray areas. And secondly, it's not like you're coming out and saying that trans women are men. I mean, that's clearly a violation of their standards at Harvard. You know, to say that a man is in fact, well, a man. The students at the Harvard Crimson, they're honest enough to write about the president of Harvard. This, the Crimson independently reviewed the published allegations, though some are minor, consisting of passages that are similar or identical to Gay's sources, lacking quotation marks, but including citations. Others are more substantial, including some paragraphs and sentences nearly identical to other work and lacking citations. Some appear to violate Harvard's current policies around plagiarism and academic integrity. A Harvard webpage titled What Constitutes Plagiarism says that when copying language word for word from another source, scholars must give credit to the author of the source material, either by placing the source material in quotation marks and providing clear citation, or by paraphrasing the source material and providing a clear citation. On the other hand, here's how the New York Times wrote about this. Harvard clears president of research misconduct after plagiarism charges. The university started an investigation after receiving accusations in October, at a time when its president, Claudine Gay, was under fire for her response to campus anti-Semitism. She's been given the opportunity, and by the way, they want you to know this. It was Claudine Gay who demanded this review. So you know what she's getting to do? She's ordered that her academic writings be updated. 18% of what she wrote is to be updated. 18%. And in reading the analysis from people who went to Harvard, this is a woman with a very, very light publishing history. Hunter Biden gets to skip out on a congressional subpoena, and they're not charging him with contempt. He got to traipse on over to the Senate side, give a self-seeking, boastful, deceptive, lie-filled statement, and nothing has happened. Here. I wonder what it would be like if people like Hunter Biden knew that the Lord is just sitting there watching everything. In fact, didn't need to. Already saw it coming. Claudine Gay is apparently a plagiarist, and a pretty heavy one, 18% of her work. She gets to stay on at Harvard, though she couldn't find it in her heart to say, yeah, please don't demand that all Jewish people be murdered. Please don't do that, because it's like wrong or something. Let's stay in the spirit. This is a blink of an eye. I truly wonder, are we going to remember this in heaven? Merry Christmas to you. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. We'll come back with the Tower of Babel. Back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I have some emails to respond to and a personal observation. First, though, on this show, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciples View presents The Tower of Babbling.
I got hairy legs that turn that turn blonde in the sun. I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap, and I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Oh my goodness! Good job, Randy. Randy works behind the scenes here. Does a great job for us, and I really appreciate you leaving out the part where he talked about the kids petting the hair on his legs. Seeing what we've seen with figurehead Biden, that's an image I choose to just jettison from my mind. But now it's back. Thank you, Randy. It's great work. We do usually three audio bites here in the Tower of Babbling. This is to prove the point. Very, very wise people, they think, on tall towers of shaking sand. J.D. Vance and Jake Tapper, in this clip here, they're not really disagreeing. It's just that Jake Tapper doesn't speak English.
I want to protect as many unborn babies as possible. I also think we have to win the trust back of the American people. And one of the ways to do that is to be the truly pro-family party. I think we are. We've got to carry that message forward and actually enact some public policy to that effect.
Is birth control part of that policy, empowering women to be able to make those decisions before they get pregnant?
Look, obviously people need to be able to make those decisions. I don't think that I know any Republican, at least not a Republican with a brain, that's trying to take those rights away from people. But I think it goes deeper than that.
I mean, I could provide a list for you if you wanted.
Well, okay. Not anybody I talk to, Jake. But look, I think the more important question is, I talk to a lot of people, a lot of young families who want to have babies. They can't afford mortgages. Yeah. They're terrified about healthcare expenses. We've got to answer those questions for people. We've got to have a role to play because, look, we have a real problem in this country. Not enough American families that want to have children are able to do it. That's how you destroy a nation.
Well, there's also you destroy the nation by importing people who have in mass millions at a time who don't love your country. Oh, Jake Tapper there, he's speaking the words in English. But how much you want to bet that Jake means the morning after pill before they become pregnant? I looked and I'm not seeing any bills in Congress to ban birth control pills or other means of contraception. I'm not finding a single one that's made it anywhere. So Jake could provide a list. Incidentally, on the topic of the so-called morning after pill, I heard on country music radio, I usually listen to, well, this. this network and Christian radio as I drive. Country radio came on. Did you know that they've named an abortion pill Julie? There's an abortion drug called Julie. So, taking the life of a human being before that human being, one would presume, even has the dignity of a name by eating a pill that has a name. And Jesus wept. Next clip in our Tower of Babbling. I say it all the time. I'll vote for either Ron DeSantis or President Trump, but no other Republican could say this and be so lightly criticized by conservatives.
Later, and a general who's a fantastic general actually said to me, "Sir, I've been on the battlefield. Men have gone down on my left and on my right. I stood on hills where soldiers were killed. But I believe the bravest thing I've ever seen was the night you went onto that stage with Hillary Clinton after what happened. And then that woman asked you the first question about it. And I said, locker room talk. It's locker room talk. Locker room talk."
He was talking about when President Trump said, before he was president, and he said to Billy Bush that comment about women will let you grab their, you know. And a general said, well, if he did, say it was braver to go on stage than to walk into battle, I'm going to hazard a guess that the general was being very, 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 very sarcastic. And perhaps President Trump was there as well, but I didn't get that feeling. It was brave-ish, but not anywhere near walking into fire. We have to be able to call these things out to keep ourselves honest. And in fact, if we don't, well, then we're really not using the mouths God gave us in the right way, I think. Last clip in today's Tower Babbling. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Rick Caruso. He's describing why he's a huge donor to figurehead Biden. Such a huge donor, he got to co-host an event for the figurehead in Los Angeles.
What is the message you're sending? Why was it important for you to do this?
Well, the message I'm sending is clear. I support Joe Biden for president. And I support stability. I support having somebody in there that does not have disdain for the fundamental principles of our democracy.
In light of what we've learned today, Joe Biden, who said the DOJ should prosecute anybody who refuses to respond to a congressional subpoena, that article is right now, I'll check and see if it's still blocked, was blocked by I think, a denial of service attack. It's still blocked. Still can't get it. This man who is, in fact, jailing political enemies. In fact, they're on a massive effort to imprison his top political foe. This is after they lied about him using the tools of the deep state. This is after they changed the election rules with 90 days to the election, and many of those changes were done illegally. Absolutely against the Constitution's provisions for how states that run federal elections, how they're to be run. That it's the contention of this big donor in Los Angeles that's a man with basic respect, a fundamental respect for the principles of democracy. What flavor of democracy? Oh, I said earlier, I have respect for people's votes. I don't know that I do. I said it about Nikki Haley. Yeah, I can understand why people would vote for Nikki Haley, and I can respect that. I cannot respect a vote for Joe Biden. I wonder if I could seek to understand it. Oh, yeah. Donald Trump is literally Hitler. Well, there's that. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Well, I'm sick and tired of smart guys.
On a Disciple's View.
All of a sudden, I don't know what's happened in Virginia, but we're getting a series of emails from Virginia. I don't know. Maybe people started to like the show there. Appreciate the note. Eric, Hey, Todd, I love the show on AFR. I learned about you on Rush Limbaugh's program. Glad to have you back on radio. Quick question. Where do you get the music you play on the show? I like to have good Christian music, and I'm assuming that's what you're playing. I'd like to get a list of it. Is that possible? Love the program. Say hi to the friends at AFR. So, I mean, to answer your question, there's a couple things that happen. First of all the music you hear on this program comes from Christian bands, Christian artists. We have quite a catalog of this that my friend and producer, Alex, put together. And I ask that this just continue to be updated. Randy, then, on the back end, is responsible for making sure that we rotate the songs and trying to work the songs into the content. If I'm on some rant, and we want to go out with some ranty music. If it's a little bit more of a gentle segment, then we want to go out a little bit more gentle. But to answer your question, could we get you a list? Yeah, I guess we could do that. I guess that would be good. I think that Christian bands, particularly this time, deserve our support, and particularly if the music's good. So thank you for the note, Eric. Lori, dear Todd, I listen to all of your work, your podcast, and your radio show on AFR. We are in a tough spot. Our daughter is insistent on moving to Portland, Oregon. You can only imagine our panic, as we are both conservative Christians, my husband and I. Our other three kids have moved to the West Coast, but nowhere near Portland. It's bad enough where they live, and yes, we've already seen the changes in them. Please settle my mind and tell me if Portland is as bad as I think it is. Love the program and your work. Yours in Christ, Lori. It's worse. Whatever you think of Portland, it's worse. Let me explain why. There was a political murder on the streets of Portland, and it was a hit. It was a well-rehearsed, really well-done hit on a Proud Boy Trump supporter. And I could review the video for you to show you how well planned it was, but they had the following roles. As this guy came around the corner, they had the shooter hiding in a car garage. They had the guys who came out to confront the Trump guy, the Proud Boy. The shooter comes out, fires a shot. But how did they know that guy was coming? Well, up the street, they had spotters. And when that guy came out of a building, one of the spotters revved his engine on a muscle car, very loud car. That alerted them. They had a cameraman across the street filming this. Why was he sitting there filming a random street corner in Portland? When the shooting happened, the shooter took off immediately. He used a revolver. No, he didn't. I'm sorry, he didn't, because there were shells in the ground. It wasn't a revolver. He didn't use a revolver. He could have. So the shells ejected. And the muscle car pulled up and got out and said, "Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh." The occupants of the muscle car said, "Oh my gosh, they shot this man. They shot this man." And as they're doing that, another car pulled up. The inhabitants got out and picked up the shells of the spent rounds and put them in their pockets and drove away. The other witnesses, when the police arrived, gave absolutely false, completely wrong information. Oh, he did this. The Proud Boy was yelling at him and screaming at him, threatening him to kill him. And the shooter ran this way when he ran the other way. And they saw the whole thing. That takes a lot of training. The reason I bring that up, it's just an isolated incident. No, there's been beatings. There's been another shooting, people's arms broken, because Antifa runs that town. And there's this, it's a deeply satanic city. And I won't say their name on the air because I don't want them to have the attention, but there is a donut shop there with two locations that has actual satanic donuts. Oh, they're just funnin'. They're just funnin'. So, Lori, I regret to say I cannot put your mind at ease, because I have to tell you, whatever you're thinking about Portland, Oregon, it's worse. Thanks for listening to all the work and AFR in particular. By the way, if you haven't heard my podcast, you can get that at thetoddhermanshow.com. It's 2.5 hours of new material every single day. Thetoddhermanshow.com or wherever you get podcasts. Just a quick personal observation this morning. I have such hope, such optimism. I've been blessed to be a youth leader with high school boys, one of whom becomes legally a man tomorrow. Can I just tell you this? There is coming a generation of young men who have seen the world around them for what it is. They do not want to be of this world. And they're coming into it. One young man's going to go play college volleyball. He's good, but he's had to work hard because he didn't have the natural talent. Do you know what his concern was? How do I build Christian brotherhood in the city I'm going to before I get there? How will I have adult Christian mentors there waiting for me so I don't come off the path? Another young man seeking to go become a pastor, but he wants to go the full route, degree in theology and divinity. You know what his concern is? Who will minister to the young guys here? If I leave town, who will minister to them? I enjoy the way God uses me in this. There's hope. I was at a summer camp this year with these boys, and I did a podcast called 300 Reasons for Hope. There's women too, young women. They've also seen what the world is. They don't want to be of it. They've seen what it's done to their friends. They've seen the world of always available pornography. I talk to these young women occasionally. We don't, as men, minister to girls. A lot of them are very concerned about how they're going to find a godly husband. I had the great gift the other night when a girl told me this. I just don't know how I'm going to find a godly husband. I told her, you know what? I talk to a lot of young men. They're wondering how they're going to find a godly wife. There's always a reason God has you where you're at. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak about His world. His Word and His world. We remain mindful that our true home is here, Jesus Christ and His kingdom, and because we love Him, we keep His command to make disciples. I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View. Until God says we can speak again, may the peace of the Lord rest upon you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.